Good morning. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Hi. So I was sitting in the newsroom this morning,
yeah,
doing my usual kibitzing, and all of a sudden, into my brain, somebody mentioned Pittsburgh. And into my brain popped this old tune, which is, he walks up and down neath the clock every night in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And there you go.
So I just went into our brilliant board op, Rob, and so it was the same genre as How Much Is That Doggy in the Window, which is a more popular tune.
Early 50s?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going now.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Tuesday, the 21st of June. Very nice to have you with us. Delight. Actually, we have a lot to talk about, which we always do, it seems. And although I guess we're probably getting to those days, although in an election year maybe less so, of the days of summer where it's harder to find things. But no shortage today, no. Certainly. So we will get to those. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe, and thanks for putting up for my 1950s memories. Golden oldies.
Thank you. Apparently, we're taking requests, Rosemary. Anything on your list?
No, not at all.
Rosemary's sitting there with pursed lips.
Something perhaps from the Divinals. welcome, the director of the journalism program at SUNY at the University at Albany.
Yeah, I know.
Slipped again,
gotcha.
Joe.
Almost
slipped.
Gotcha.
At the Teachers College in Albany.
That's right. Absolutely. And Mike Spain, who's the associate editor of the Times Union newspaper here in the Capital Region. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us, as always. All right. Let's move on to the topics for today. There is, as I mentioned, a lot to talk about, and they are one of the stories was something that was actually happening while we were doing the panel yesterday, and that is the fact that Donald Trump has fired his campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, and he also he has named a new campaign manager, and all of this in somewhat, we believe, to be a confirmation that the campaign is in trouble. The follow-up to that story has been that Donald Trump faces the worst financial gap in recent presidential history. He has $1.3 million on hand, while Hillary Clinton has 32 times as much, $42 million. And just to put that into perspective for you, according to the Washington Post and the New York Times, Ben Carson has more money in his presidential fund than Donald Trump does.
Well, one neurological operation.
That pays well? Yeah, pays well.
might do that. You know, Joe, I have enough.
One thing.
Yeah.
Donald Trump isn't a brain surgeon.
No. Well,
he's no brain surgeon.
He's no brain surgeon.
I think there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here. Number one, he's not releasing his income taxes. So we don't know how much he really has. He said very specifically, correct me this on this, and I know you will, Rosemary. He said very specifically, I'm rich. I'm a billionaire. And he said at one point, he gave the amount, he said he's got $10 billion.
Yeah, and $4 billion of it is the value of the Trump brand. Less than $2 billion, he said, was liquid assets, and then $4 billion was investments.
So that's still a lot of money.
That's still a lot of money.
And we don't know how much he's really got and how much of it is BS. We just don't know. So now he says, okay, I need the money. The only way to get the money is from the Republican biggies who don't like him. So he has to change. He has to become a Republican biggie before our very eyes and become an establishment type. But how did he get here? He got here by being an anti-establishment type. And so, therefore, he's got a big problem. I believe a problem which cannot be solved. Because the moment he goes the other way, he's basically saying, I fooled you, and has. So, therefore, that's what I have to say on the subject. Take it, Rosemary.
Okay, well, did you want to say something, Joe?
Well, the only thing I was just going to say is that to Alan's point of he was already changing on some positions, one of them being the fact that the occupants of the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, if they had weapons, that this wouldn't have been as bad as it was.
Right.
He has now just said that that's not what he said, although
there's
about 18 copies of him saying exactly.
He loves to do that.
So now he is changing history and saying
misconstrued
that it should have been there should have been cops in the nightclub with guns, not that the people in the club should have had guns. So that's already started. Well, whether that works or not, we don't know.
I would like to think that Trump is in more trouble than I believe he really is. Yes, he got rid of his campaign manager, but he has other people in place, and he's been moving towards that for quite some time.
Yes.
And the guy who was mishandling things is now gone. So we should see an improvement. He's listening to his kids, for one thing, it appears. That's a good thing. The money, it would be nice, in my view, if you could prove you didn't need as the $40 million that Hillary has raised, if you didn't need that much. And maybe he doesn't. I don't think he has to just go to the bigwigs. He doesn't like them. He won't do well with them. He gave up. He was supposed to make 10 calls, according to one report, and stopped after two.
He was supposed to make 40, and he made after like three
whatever.
Or four.
Yeah, he made only a fraction. But, you know, Bernie Sanders proved you don't have to raise money in only one way anymore. And if Bernie could get lots of little people to send in little donations, why can't Trump? That's where his votes are coming from.
Yeah.
And he would then have the power to say, I didn't have to do it by becoming beholden to anyone. I'm a great guy. I think he could end up turning this all around.
But to Alan's point, which I think is the point, that once you change the message and you dial it back, is that going to ostracize
the hell message? He said anything he's wanted and changed it. You just mentioned the one about Orlando. He's changed everything. He will spin this. I think we're going to see something new from Trump. I would like for him to count him out. I would love to be able to say, all right, he's done for now. Now just watch Hillary roll in there. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, he's had a campaign strategy that has been very effective so far. He can make outrageous statements and get enormous press coverage and benefit from that. The New York Times estimated perhaps he got $2 billion in free media during the primary campaign. And that's counting up how much time he spent on the air. And in the process of that, if he can convert that over and make the pivot, It is possible there'll be another surge. I don't think it's over yet. And I think anybody who tries to make any predictions in this election year is really walking on thin ice.
Well, you make a good point.
Yeah.
However, his ratings are in the tank. We know that. His polling ratings are in the tank.
For this week. He's had ratings that have been very high, and he has gone through a very bad spell. But he's changed everything. And we're still a long, long way from the voting.
You know, Rosemary, you're beginning to sound more and more like a Trump defender.
I'm not defender. I wish you need to be realistic here. Yeah.
If people aren't realistic, things...
Hillary better not take him lightly.
I was saying this. Well, first of all, I agree with that. Absolutely agree with that. And been saying so all along. There are very brilliant people in this country, political people, who think that he can win and make the case that he can win. Nevertheless, I think it's better that people are finding out in a way that, you know, we didn't feel that they were finding out before. And I think you can't kick that in the pants. We do know that the regular Republican organization is furious about what's about to happen to them down ticket. So these are people who are politicians who know that there are issues here and know that it could be a terrible time for them, right?
Well, they certainly must be nervous and worried.
Yeah.
And this is a positive sign, I would imagine, from their perspective, because it does show that in order to pivot, and he needs to pivot, and you're right, Alan, if he pivots too radically, it may cut him off from the base that he's created for himself. But I'm not so sure. People tend, you know, that base, when you see these, you know, these interviews and the angry town hall meetings, you can confront them with the reality that Trump said this, but he did this, he said this, but he did this.
And they say,
I don't care. I really just want someone to go in there and blow up government, start over.
And he tells the truth. That's the one that always gets me. I love him because he tells the truth.
Such a mendacious person. Yeah, but that is the
mendacious, that means lying, right?
Correct, it does.
Yeah, the other interesting thing is he's loaning himself some money for the campaign. Which means that when he, and if he does finish making that list of 40 phone calls, Joe, and raises money, he can pay himself back. So yeah. And then the question I think you brought up, Alan, a little while ago was perhaps there's not that much cash available for him to loan himself because he has not released his tax.
And remember, this guy has been in bankruptcies with his hotels and things before, right?
Right. I mean, his image as this big, successful, billionaire real estate mogul is somewhat tarnished. The New York Times has chronicled, the way his casinos went bankrupt, and many of the buildings and many of the entities that have his name on them are only licensed. He doesn't own them. Hmm. So it is more of an image than a reality. It'd be interesting to see his tax return just to know what's real and what's not.
You know, the BBC this morning had a very interesting program about Hillary. Now, we're getting a fair amount of mail here saying, how come you don't talk about Hillary's, downside?
We're giving Trump his free media coverage.
Right. Yeah. And the whole thing was, and they went through Whitewater, and they went through the whole thing up to...
Oh, my God. Never indicted, no charges ever brought. She's investigated and cleared.
Millions of dollars at his hands.
Excuse me.
Cleared.
Excuse me. We know your sort of rapid response than the name.
Rapid response.
R-A-P-I-D. Rapid. Rapid.
Okay.
Rapid. Can I just put the foam off of your mouth a little bit here?
He's really annoying me, Joe. You better do something.
But
he makes a good point, though.
So we know that it's not whether Hillary was ever indicted. Trust me about this. It was why she had a 57% disapproval rate. And the BBC, which is hardly pro-Trump, was trying to get to the bottom of what it was that annoyed so many people about Hillary. And they went through the entire thing, including so many of the things that are so crazy that Bill is admired for his infidelity, but Hillary is blamed for being an enabler. What'd you say, Mike?
Trump tries to make that connection and portray her as
well.
An enabler.
Trump's not the first one to ever try to make it.
Here's the deal: Trump has figured out wisely that he cannot get in trouble by attacking the Republican administration or establishment, which has the lowest rankings ever since they began recording feelings about political parties. He cannot get in trouble for attacking the media. In fact, he bans the Washington Post, and there was just a blizzard of coverage the past weekend when he did that. Nor Hillary Clinton. He can say anything about her. All the rules are out. All the rules about approaching a woman gingerly when you're debating them, he is throwing them out, and he's winning great points for it.
Yep.
He's playing his own game, and we're falling for it.
Okay, so I just want you to know that Eileen says, I agree with Alan, simply because it seems that his support comes from people who have very little critical thinking ability. So he's changing his mind, denying that. You said this too, Rosemary. I have to give the devil her due. Denying what he has said.
It was actually Libby who said it. I don't believe in blasting anybody who likes Donald Trump as some lacking critical thinking skills.
Yeah,
that was Libby
right.
who said it.
Et cetera. Will make very little difference to them. And that's from Eileen. Okay, very good.
But will they show up to vote? That's the real issue.
Well,
they did.
And some do.
They did
in
the primaries. That's the scary thing to me, Mike, is that people who supported Bernie and were vociferous in that support did not vote. Not true with Trump. He actually did increase attendance at primary turnouts for the Republican side throughout the entire season. So that's scary to me.
Well, some of Bernie's people were ineligible to vote in primaries, as in New York, because he was drawing from
non-registered
Democrats.
Oh, he made quite a big
Democrats.
Deal about that, yes.
Yeah, they are calling the whole electoral system corrupt.
Yes, corrupt, yeah. That's how Hillary
it's convenient.
Won, because it was corrupt,
certainly.
Right.
So
back to you, Joe.
All right, with all of that, let's go to a couple of letters. We have about 2 minutes before we need to go to a break. We'll go to the letters, and then we'll get to the other big topic today regarding the Senate and gun control.
Okay. Robert says, panel, right now I'm less interested in Trump's tax returns than his prenups. The New York Times report that with Roy Cohn's connivance, that was a hell of a story.
It sure
was a good story.
It was a really good story.
For those of you kids who don't know who Roy Cohn was, he was the infamous Senator McCarthy's top right-hand man. Oh, you don't know who Senator McCarthy is? Okay, Senator McCarthy was one of the great commie hunters of all times, made his career.
Joe McCarthy, not
Joe
Eugene.
McCarthy, no, and died of throat cancer. I just want to point that out. The New York Times report with Roy Cohn's connivance, his premarital agreement with Ivana required her to give back everything in capital letters he gave her during their marriage is a real shocker. What a sweet guy. And that's Bob from Albany. And Judy says, actually, Rosemary is right. Just wanted Alan to read it.
Yeah, the subject,
I love her.
The subject heading was Alan is right. Yeah.
Salutation. I love that. Okay. I can't read it because it's too long.
Yes.
You have to have
140 characters.
Yes. Yeah. A couple of sentences. For God's sakes, don't write me a composition, even if you were an English major. Okay. And Jamie says, well, one, but there's no two. Well, it is apparent now, Roundtable, that Donald Trump intends to run his presidential campaign as he ran his primary, that is, spending nothing and let the press handle publicity. Now he reports he has no money to annoy us, so press, if you just ignore him, we will not have to hear his silly name again.
Our
read
job
it.
Is to cover the campaign. We would not be doing our job if we did that.
Yeah, I mean, it's read it. Unfortunately, yes, but it's up to you, press. Shut up. No, we're not shutting up. Okay. Let's see. And James says, good morning, Roundtable. The fundraising numbers say it all. Changing campaign manager will not stop him from saying a bucket full of more stupid things. And the money people know it. I'm impressed that the anti-Trump delegates club has grown from a few dozen to 400 plus over the weekend.
We're going to pause there. We're out of time. We'll be right back after the short break. How much is that doggy in the window?
Well, I'll tell you something. That's when they really could write songs.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I personally am I'm against pet stores and having dogs in windows. But
yeah, you make a point. You make a very good point. Hello.
You probably couldn't get away with that song now, right? No,
well, you might.
I think you just did.
How much is that doggy in the no-kill shelter?
How much does it cost to rescue that doggy?
That's right.
How dare you? Dear WMC, how dare you?
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. All right, the next item up for bids here, thing I want to talk about is that happened yesterday was this was not a big surprise. I think we sort of knew this was coming, and yet the fact that it did was obviously troubling to many of us. That is, the Senate votes down gun control proposals in the wake of Orlando shootings. So there were four competing gun control proposals allowing Democrats and Republicans to stake out political turf around a controversial, emotional issue that promises to play big in a campaign year, and they all failed. The votes, which fell mostly along party lines, came as the debate over gun laws has been reinvigorated following the recent mass shooting at an Orlando nightclub popular with the gay community. Despite both parties presenting proposals to tighten certain restrictions on buying a firearm, attempts to craft any compromise ran aground last week, leading to Monday's series of votes that served as a way for both sides to send political messages.
Well, that's right. I mean,
you said it all. There's nothing else.
Oh, you turn your mic on.
What did I do? Oh,
yeah, turn it
on. Okay. So is it on?
Yep.
Now? It's on now. Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, what can I say except that it's so obvious the Republicans were putting up two of these two of these proposals that they knew would be impossible to implement if they were passed. They are, in fact, beholden to the National Rifle Association, no question about it. And they want to be seen as at least having tried to do something. It's nonsense. Joe, I'll tell you, I think it's coming. You know, the polls are wildly in favor of some kind of gun control legislation.
55% support for tougher gun laws, 55%, which is the highest number since the Newtown tragedy. However, when it comes to specific gun control measures, including background checks. 92% of the people say that they wanted expanded background checks.
So what I do see here is what we saw with gay marriage, marriage equality. Which is, it took forever, but when it came again, whoosh, it really came fast. I see that happening here. I think the NRA had really better watch their keisters, because I do think that they are going to get swamped. This is really terrible. It's terrible because we saw it in each of these great tragedies. But I'm optimistic. I really think we're going to see something good.
87% of the people in this poll from CNN support a ban for felons or people with mental problems. 85% say they would ban people on federal watch lists from buying guns. Amongst Republicans, that number is even higher, 90%. And say they favor preventing people on the terror watch list or no-fly list from buying a gun. And that number is at 85% for Democrats. So even amongst Republicans, this is a big issue.
I don't want to run people's campaigns for them. But if I'm running against one of these guys, with these Republicans who voted against these proposals, I'm going to make ads out of it.
Yeah, and there's money for that. Michael Bloomberg is one who will throw his money when he sees a vulnerability in a particular race, and there's other organizations that will do it. And the fact that there's some confidence people have that the Senate took action within a week or just a little over a week after the tragedy. It took several weeks after Newtown for the Senate to vote down some kind of regulation of guns. So,
and our regular correspondent, Chris Murphy, who is on the Congressional Corner all the time, or was, and is even on as a senator, which is very unusual, and comes on, he gets incredible credit for filibustering the way he did. And I want everybody to remember that when you're yelling about the filibuster, remember that there are times that it helps those who are, you know, out of power, like the Democrats right now.
Well, it brought a vote. It forced a vote, but the vote was not.
I think it was all an incredibly cynical action by the Republicans. I do not like that guy McConnell. Jeez. He let it come to a vote because he knew he had the votes to defeat it.
Yeah,
it
but was, still, was, they don't. But still, Rosemary, you have to understand. No, I don't want to say that to you. But we all understand that the way this works is that they never let things up for a vote. They just don't do that. So in this case, they were forced to do it, to do something. I think the cynical thing was the two proposals that they put up, which were so ridiculous. Oh, and by the way, we've had a correction from two people who think that I said that Roy Cohn died of throat cancer. No, it was Senator
Joe McCarthy
who died of throat cancer, and Roy Cohn did die of AIDS.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Okay, so back to guns.
Yes.
100% voting record. There were 100 senators there, which rarely happens. Even Bernie went back, the first time since January he was in, because they're all registering their votes. They obviously think that they're going to have to answer to their constituents about how they voted.
And remember, Bernie hasn't been any too hotsy-totsy on gun control himself up to
this. This is an easy one for someone to support. The people who are on federal terror watch lists not be allowed to buy guns. It's basic logic. By blowing this off and defeating this, the Senate Republicans just established themselves as being in the hip pocket of the NRA, period.
Yeah, they're now on record as supporting sale of weapons to ISIS. If you're a terrorist, you can buy a gun in the United States easily.
Well, that's one way to put it. The tide is certainly turning. I think you're right, Alan. I think that this is an erosion of the erosion of America's support for tight or very loose restrictions on guns is there. And, you know, it happened gradually that the NRA, you know, began back in the 80s. It took till 2006 when Scalia ruled that The Constitution gave individuals a right to bear arms when it doesn't actually say that specifically. And then it'll go the other way. It takes time, but it'll go the other way. And I think you're right, Alan. I think it will be swish. It'll happen pretty quickly, hopefully not because of another tragedy.
You just wonder at what point, I mean, we said this after Newtown, you know, if that doesn't mm-hmm. change things, what is going to change things? And especially with these poll numbers, you wonder.
I wish that the Fourth Amendment had an advocacy group as effective as the NRA.
So one of the things that I just find interesting as anything else is how that group got as powerful as it is.
Right.
Money.
Well,
money.
Sure, money.
It is absolutely money. The gun manufacturers, it's in their interest to protect gun rights. And the sad, tragic aspect of Orlando, in the aftermath of Orlando, it was a big enough tragedy itself, is that gun sales skyrocketed because people who want to own guns felt that there would be restrictions, so they ran out to buy more guns and more ammunition. It's just an insane kind of a process that goes on in this country.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we will continue. Also want to talk about Justice Sotomayor, about that story as well. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Beacon Fine Art Printing. Beacon, offering museum-quality digital archival printing, scanning, retouching, and mounting for artists, photographers, galleries, and art enthusiasts. BeaconFineArtPrinting.com. Williamstown Theater Festival, Williamstown, Massachusetts, presenting a season of new and re-envisioned works. Performances June 29th through August 21st. Box office now open, WTFestival.org. Northshire Bookstore presenting the Scholastic Summer Reading Road Trip, Wednesday, July 13th from 2 to 5 p.m. in Saratoga Springs, New York, northshire.com. And Mannix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in search engine optimization and internet marketing since 1996, mannixmarketing.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us, and we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. What are you two up to?
They're discussing grammar passive conjunction.
Passive subjunctive tense. Yes.
I didn't know.
By the way, I have no idea what the passive subjunctive is,
I thought I'd say it.
Roundtable at WAMC.org. Thank you
Not
very much.
1-800.
I thought I was doing Box Pop for a second. Yeah. Oh, no, it's something else. But all right.
What a fun drive.
Let's go to, we do want to go to the story.
Supreme Court.
Which, unfortunately, is not in my.
Disappeared from your device?
Yes, it did. I brought up the Brexit story. How did we get that name, by the way?
It's Brexit. A combination of exit and Britain.
I understand that, but.
I think it's stupid.
It is kind of. Thank you, Mike.
It's stupid?
Yeah.
It's Brexit. Stupid that it's the word is stupid.
Yes, the word's stupid.
So the Supreme Court ruled on Monday that evidence found by police officers after illegal stops may be used in court if the officers conducted their searches after learning that the defendants had outstanding arrest warrants. Clarence Thomas, writing for the majority in the 5-3 decision, said such searches do not violate the Fourth Amendment when the warrant is valid and unconnected to the conduct that prompted the stop. Justice Sotomayor wrote the dissent, the fiery dissent, as it says here, who said that it is no secret that people of color are disproportionate victims of this type of scrutiny. She wrote, "This case tells everyone, white and black, guilty and innocent, that an officer can verify your legal status at any time. It says that your body is subject to invasion while courts excuse the violation of your rights. It implies that you are not a citizen of a democracy, but the subject of a
carceral other pertaining to prisons."
Thank you. And just
what?
Waiting.
Other pertaining to prisons. Same root as incarcerated.
Oh, I see.
A carceral state.
Now I see.
Just waiting to be cataloged.
amazing.
Why don't you describe what actually happened?
Yeah, this is a Utah case, and a man was subjected to a. The police thought that he was buying drugs. He went into a house and came out a short time later. Except they couldn't prove that because they didn't really know exactly when he went in. But they stop him based on that belief, and they find he had a small amount of methamphetamine. And so it should have been, under the Fourth Amendment, an easy step to get rid of him.
He had had a, prior arrest.
I was going to get to that. There was a warrant for him.
A technical excuse to
He asked that the evidence just be thrown away because it was an illegal search. But they said, no, we found out there was a warrant out for you. So that's what nullified it in the view of the Supreme Court, although not the state courts in Utah.
Yeah, they didn't know that there was a warrant out for the guy when they arrested him.
When they stopped him.
They stopped him in the first place.
But it's routine for cops to check for prior arrests. So
if I may, for one second, if I may just...
He asked me to explain it. So
well, you were explaining it. You want to go on?
No, that's all. Okay. I'll just shut up.
The main thing is, I would never have you shut up. Mm-hmm. That's not why I desperately wanted you on this program, Rosemary. No, on the contrary, I think the whole idea is you stop anybody from now on. You stop anybody. And your excuse for stopping them is to find out if there's a warrant out on them. And that's Sotomayor's point.
Not exactly. Her point is that you can find something on anybody. You stop them for whatever reason you want, and then you go looking. If you have a parking ticket, she's saying, then fine, nullify his constitutional rights.
That's right. But the point really is that you are going to ask everybody who you arrest, are there any warrants out for you?
Right.
And the warrant becomes the reason that you can stop anyone. Remember all that stuff about stop and frisk and all the rest of it, and that's bad. But now it turns out that this is a new backdoor, and Thomas, in his brilliance, has announced it.
The problem, the horrible problem, is that if the police get to use the fruits of a bad search, of an illegal search, why would they not do illegal searches all the time?
That's right.
And the
hope of finding
something. It's just empowering cops, and especially, they're going to use it against minorities. So at a time when we're concerned about police treatment of minorities, the Supreme Court has given them this very dangerous weapon. And it kills me that it happens at the same time that we're worried about suspected terrorists' constitutional right to have a gun is endangered, so we won't pass a law on waiting lists. But this gets through. Terrible.
You did a great job of explaining it. Thank you.
I'll shut up for real now.
No. You shouldn't shut up. You should never shut up.
I mean, what's left of the Fourth Amendment? Which protects you from illegal search and seizure.
It's ripped apart. You could do the same thing with a search.
If they stopped you and there was not, and they held you but didn't arrest you, and were unable to find that there was an outstanding warrant against you for something that happened 10 years ago unrelated to this, they would not be able to use that as an excuse to search you. And therefore, if they searched you and found an illegal substance, that would not be allowed as evidence to charge
you.
But the Judge Thomas is saying that if they had a legitimate reason to search you, i.e. this warrant from 10 years ago about an unrelated thing, and then they find something about something else, they'll use it against you. And that is just exactly that. It gives the cops an excuse to go after primarily people who are had been in trouble before, who had run-ins with the law,
who are of color or who are poor.
As you always point out,
who could not defend themselves.
Cops have a very difficult job.
And I do
know that they have instincts about, they don't have proof, but they have instincts that this guy just isn't right. He's wrong. And this gives them a way to act on a hunch. And all of these Supreme Court rulings for decades of my life have been to control the police. This one just lets it all out of the bottle again.
Yep. Let us go to our final topic, and that is, this happens Thursday, and this is the possible British departure from the European Union. The rest of the EU nations are looking at the possibility of a British departure with disbelief, trepidation, and anguish, but they're also preparing to retaliate. This from the New York Times. If Britons do vote in a referendum on Thursday to leave the European Union, they can expect a tough and unforgiving response, with capitals around the continent intent on deterring other countries from following the British example. That, according to European officials and analysts. In other words, Britain will be made to suffer for its choice.
This is truly one of the stories I know I have no real instincts on. I mean, I just don't know what I would do if I was having to vote there. I do know a good deal of the Brexit strategy, the getting out strategy, is racist. And that is something that disturbs me.
It's to keep people out who are not Brits.
That disturbs me a great deal. On the other hand, I have no idea economically whether it's good or bad.
Disaster. It's a disaster economically if it gets out and it hits the United States.
That we know.
The rest of the continent will take measures against Great Britain. And so we lose either way. Great Britain is an ally and a partner. Western Europe is a huge market for us. The EU is seriously weakened if Britain leaves. First of all, Scotland will leave immediately, so you're going to see the breakup of Great Britain.
Right.
And the only person who's really happy about all this is Vladimir Putin. The group I work for just came out with a story showing that he's sending election watchers into Great Britain for the referendum, and they're already putting out all this propaganda. Leave. And the person to blame for all of this is David Cameron. Why do we need a referendum? He announced it in 2013. He thought it would put down all the complaints that he was hearing about Britain's involvement in it, and never ever anticipated that it would be as close a vote as the polls appear to make it.
Guessed wrong.
The latest polls, the ones released today, show that were taken over the weekend, show that by tiny margins that British voters now favor remaining in the Union versus a departure, which stock markets obviously reacted to yesterday.
203 points.
But the polls in the UK have been less accurate than in the US, and that's what they point out, and that people are not always completely honest with the pollsters.
Well, it could be Trumpian in nature.
Yeah. And the assassination of Joe Cox, a member of parliament who was in favor of staying, may have a big influence. That may be possible. But here's the thing. It's so close either way, whether they go or stay. The repercussions of this referendum are going to be felt in the EU for a long time.
To say nothing of Great Britain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, their internal politics.
Well, the idea of breaking up the unity in Europe that exists with this, you know, still fragmented, imperfect European Union.
And it is
still
imperfect, and I think we'll all remember
true.
That.
It has flaws. They haven't managed everything. The way they handled the Greece crisis, a lot of people are critical of that. It seems to be dominated by Germany, et cetera. But having Europe working together, these are for centuries countries that have been at odds with each other. Having them work together as one is better for the future. And rather than exit or Brexit, the UK could use this as leverage to make the changes and the reforms that are necessary to make the European Union work better. And that would be a much
better. Do we know how the Queen feels?
I don't know.
Yeah, there was a leak.
There were sort of conflicting reports that said that she was for and against, and it's sort of been
if nothing else, this has stopped the growth and the continued strength of the EU. You're not hearing about Turkey wanting to get into the EU anymore. My favorite country, Bosnia, has long wanted to be a member. Now they're saying, maybe not. Britain wants out. Why do we want in? And that lessens the possibility for development and human rights reform throughout Europe.
I don't know that the Turks were going to be allowed in, and I think that may be part of their
Well,
problem.
not anytime soon. But, you know, 10 years, 20 years, things change, and it could change for the better. But
anything
it won't if you're – if you know. And they want to make it very difficult for the U.K. to get out because they don't want anybody else to try to get out.
But Americans ought to be rooting in favor of Britain staying. And the other thing that occurs to me is that this whole thing, the Brexit debate, is very similar to our controversy here about TAP. We don't understand this whole trade stuff. And I really want people to listen to Barack Obama, a smart man, who is in favor of TAP, help negotiate it. And I understand all the problems of negotiating in secret. But you don't put your country ahead by taking a short-term solution to protect jobs.
Yeah,
now.
But when Barack Obama goes over to England and says, here's what you people ought to do.
Well,
you know,
he has good reason
for saying it.
Right. He stood behind Cameron and supported the UK staying in. Yeah. You know, whether that helps or not, who knows. His popularity there may be higher than here.
All right. We are just about out of time.
Say it isn't so.
It is so. But if you want to read a letter or two.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm doing this on my alternative device today.
Okay.
Because the other device wasn't Good. Okay.
Yeah, that 15 minutes kind of came and went, didn't it?
Yeah. And Robert says, instead of more blanket anti-firearms rhetoric and ranting, could someone please do a little research on the FBI watch list and the no-fly list? What gets into one into such category, and if wrongfully, what's involved in getting cleared? It's easy to draw conclusions for a vote in Congress, but listening to NPR this AM clearly indicated to me there's a lot of detail here that we're not hearing, and there is more than Democratic versus Republican regards. Okay.
I think both the Washington Post and the Times Union have done really good reporting on what gets you on the terror watch list.
And you can get off it. You can petition to get off it, and then you could go buy your gun.
One more letter.
Okay. And Judith says, and as a Scot, albeit exiled, I think I agree, but like many, I'm very ambivalent. So there you are. One more?
Oh, sure.
No, I mean, it's up to you. Okay. So, and then, surprise, it seemed to me Donald is as surprised as us that he actually got the nomination, has no idea as what to do now. Second point, if we're one of those Republican kids, if it were one of those Republican kids who was shot to death in Orlando, they'd be whistling a different tune. If the Democrats take Congress as a backlash to Trump, there could be progress with gun control. And by the way, there are people who now think that the House is in play. I suspect not, but they're talking about it.
We can talk about that tomorrow on this very program. We're out of time for today. Thanks to Alan and Rosemary and Mike. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.